哋可能乜係？Let's recite a third salawat for the reappearance of our imam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وعلى أهل بيتك المظلومين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد اللهيا رحمة الله الواسعة يا ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا غريب يا شهيد كربلافيا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريمبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين صدق الله العلي العظيمIlluminate your hearts and minds with a second louder salawat. Tonight is the night of Ashura. On this night, we commemorate the greatest tragedy that befell humanity. On a day like tomorrow, 14 centuries ago,The purest lights of the earth were massacred. The only grandson to the final messenger of God was mercilessly massacred in Karbala. The women of the family of the Prophet were humiliated, taken as prisoners of war. For weeks and weeks and weeks,Our beloved Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was paraded from one city to another city in chains. No tragedy in the history of humankind comes close to Karbala. Now there were three main culprits during the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam who caused this tragedy.The first culprit was Yazid ibn Muawiyah, may Allah curse him.He was the caliph, and he issued his command that either Hussein ibn Ali pledges allegiance or fight him. Therefore, he is ultimately responsible for this tragedy. The second culprit is the governor of Kufa, the ruthless Ibn Ziyad, may Allah curse him. He is the one who mobilized the masses. He threatened people.He enticed people to go and fight the imam of their time, the imam of his time. But there is a third culprit who, when you examine the events of the day of Ashura and how they unfolded, we find that he was the greater of these three culprits. This third culprit is who immediately caused the battle in Karbala. And he could have avoided this battle if he wanted to. But he continued in his aggression, in his oppression, in his injustice. This third culprit is Umar ibn Sa'd, may Allah curse him. The commander of Ibn Ziyad's army. My dear brothers and sisters, on a night like this, I want to share with you the personality of this man, because this man is the most instrumental person in Karbala who fought al-Imam al-Hussein and who directly caused the tragedy. We want to know what could lead a human being like him to fight an imam like al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In the end, he was a human being. God gave him free will. He knew right from wrong. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed us with the power of the intellect, with the power of reason to see right from wrong, he also had that tool at his disposal. What happened to him? How can a human being fall to such levels of misery and injustice such that he has the audacity to massacre the grandson of his prophet? It's incumbent on us to know, because this is a lesson, my dear brothers and sisters, that is applicable to all of us. When we try to take lessons from the life of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we usually focus on him and his companions, which is what we should do, that's our priority, to take their good values. But remember, Karbala had two sides. You had the camp of goodness, represented by the Imam and his companions, and you had the camp of evil, represented by Umar ibn Sa'd and his soldiers. We need to know their personality, their characteristics. How did they cause such a massacre? Because in every time, you have the Umar ibn Sa'ds of every era, who are mobilizing people to spread corruption and injustice on earth. Umar ibn Sa'd is the son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was amongst the migrants, those who had embraced Islam in Mecca. Later they migrated to Medina. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, you find him, for example, playing an important role during the time of the second caliph, when he appointed him on the shura, the six-member council, to appoint the third Khalifa after him. He was one of them. Now, the Sunni school of thought considers him to be one of the 10 granted paradise. The Prophet promised him paradise. But when you look at the life of this companion, we see that during the era of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he betrayed the Imam of his time. Because initially he pledged him allegiance, then later, even though he knew Imam Ali was on the right path, because he himself has narrated hadiths from the Prophet that demonstrate the rightfulness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, but he betrayed the Imam alayhi salam, and he withdrew his support. He was no longer willing to fight the Imam alayhi salam. Now this Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, by the way, is a distant relative to the Prophet. And what makes everything so shocking and interesting in Karbala is that Umar ibn Sa'd himself was related to Imam al-Hussein. Because his father Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is one of the descendants of Kilab ibn Murra. They meet him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, they meet in this man. He's their great grandfather. And in fact, from the Prophet's mother, Amina bint Wahab, she was a relative to the tribe of Bani Zuhra. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he comes from the tribe of Bani Zuhra. So you see, he's actually a distant cousin to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Yet he was the commander of the army who killed Imam al-Hussein. Just know who Umar ibn Sa'd is. This is extremely important in knowing how this tragedy happened. How can some people fall to such low levels? Now, Umar ibn Sa'd, at the time of his father Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, after the battle of Siffin, he tried to convince his father to pursue the caliphate. He told him, "Father, why don't you go and become the caliph?" Now he refused, But he was power hungry since his youth. He wanted power, even if it meant that he would betray the Imam of his time. Now let's come to the time of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to see the evil role that this man played. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam dispatches his cousin Muslim ibn Aqil. He tells him, go to Kufa, you are my representative. Get the support of the people. Muslim ibn Aqil arrives in Kufa. 18,000 people come to greet him. They pledge him allegiance. They're waiting for their master Hussein to come and save them from the injustice of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Now a few of the Kufan elites, they write a letter to Yazid. The governor at the time was Nu'man ibn Bashir. One of those people who wrote a letter was Umar ibn Sa'd. He writes a letter to Yazid. He tells him, Yazid, are you sleeping? Do you know what's happening in Kufa? 18,000 people are pledging allegiance to Muslim ibn Aqil. Not Hussein himself, Muslim, his cousin. Imagine what would happen if Imam Hussein, he himself arrives in Kufa. And this governor of yours, Nu'man ibn Bashir, he's weak. He does not have that strength to stand in the face of Imam Hussein. Yes, Yazid receives his letter. He's very alarmed. What should I do? What's going on? He consults some of his advisors. One of them, Sir John, he consults him. What should they do? And then he decides on sending Ibn Ziyad, this ruthless, merciless man, to go and replace Nu'man ibn Bashir and be the governor in Kufa. You see Umar ibn Sa'd, what a filthy role he played here. Had he not sent that letter to Yazid, along with those two other three people, chances are Muslim ibn Aqil would have achieved victory in Kufa. You see how he tipped the scale? What a shameful crime he committed in history. Ibn Ziyad comes in Kufa, and he quells the support for Muslim ibn Aqil, such that not even a single person was willing to defend Muslim ibn Aqil, the cousin of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, by threatening people. Now, in order to reward Umar ibn Sa'd for sending that letter to Yazid, to reward him, thank you for warning me, they tell him, we shall honor you and reward you by granting you the kingdom of Ray. It was a large region, modern day Tehran area in Iran, that was called the Ray area. We shall give you the kingdom of Ray with 4,000 soldiers at your service. This is how I pay you back, O Umar ibn Sa'd, when I see your loyalty. This is what Yazid said to him in a letter, and Ibn Ziyad confirmed this. He's like, yes, I have a document written for you that you shall have the kingdom of Ray. Ibn Sa'd right now, Umar ibn Sa'd, he's ecstatic. He's achieved this great kingdom. But Ibn Ziyad, the devil who he was smarter than Umar ibn Sa'd. What does he tell him? He tells him, Umar, yes, we did write that document, but there's one condition. There's one very important condition. If you want to go to the kingdom of Ray and be the governor and ruler there and have these 4,000 soldiers at your service, you have to go and stop Hussein ibn Ali. Fight Hussein ibn Ali. That's the condition. Now, initially, Umar ibn Sa'd vehemently refuses. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the test here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, when the devil whispers to us, on the first day, obviously you don't say yes. Initially, you'll say no. He went to Ibn Ziyad, he said, no, I don't accept to this condition. Why? Why do you want me to go and fight Hussein? Send somebody else. I don't want to. There are many warriors here in Kufa. I'll give you their names. I'll give you a list of who can fight. Let them go. Ibn Ziyad said, look, I didn't summon you here, so you lecture me on who's in Kufa. I know Kufa better than you. His father was the governor of Kufa, Ziyad. I know Kufa better than you. Either you go and kill Hussein and you get the kingdom of Ray, or forget about the kingdom of Ray. You're not going to get it. Now you see the crisis in his heart. When your heart is attached to this world, you feel that crisis. He knows who Hussein is. He's his relative, a distant cousin. He's the grandson of the Prophet. He's the Imam of his time. He is Sayyid Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. He knows all of that. You don't need to teach Umar ibn Sa'd any of this. He knows it better than you and I. He saw Imam al-Husayn in his own life and he heard him and saw his role. But look at what the world does to the hearts, my dear brothers and sisters. He tells Ibn Ziyad, let me think about it. Give me a day. It's a tough decision. He goes and he consults his family and friends. Every one of them tells him, don't, Umar ibn Sa'd. Don't do that. Don't get yourself in a conflict with Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. We advise you against that. Don't do something stupid like that. So he goes back to Ibn Ziyad and he tells him, look, just please excuse me from this obligation. I don't want to. I really don't. Yazid already promised me that kingdom. Why are you putting this condition last minute? You've already announced that you have that document. Stick true to your word and give me the mulk of Ray without having me going to kill Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Ibn Ziyad gets angry and agitated. He tells him, that's my final word. Leave, I'll find someone else to go to Ray. Or you go and fight Imam al-Husayn. When he saw that there was no way out, what did he end up choosing, my dear brothers and sisters? Many in history, every day in this world, people are making these same choices. In the end, he could not overpower his desires. His power of desire overwhelmed him, and he succumbed to the enslavement of this world. And he said to Ibn Ziyad, at your service, I will go to block Hussein from coming to Kufa and I will fight him. If that is what it takes to get me to the kingdom of Ray, I will do it. Look at the personality of this man. Look at how he made this decision. Now there was a crisis. He probably did not sleep that night. He was weighing the pros and the cons. What should he do? But in the end, he accepted. He mobilized the masses. Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam arrived the land of Karbala on the 2nd of Muharram. Umar ibn Sa'd with 4,000 soldiers, he arrived in Karbala on the 3rd day of Muharram according to some reports. One day after Imam Husayn alayhi salam. Now he receives a letter from Ibn Ziyad on the 7th of Muharram telling him to block the river from having the family of Imam Hussein having access to it. He tells him, assign 500 horsemen to guard the banks of the Euphrates. From today, Hussein and his family are not allowed to have any water anymore. He does that. Even though just days before that, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, when he had access to the river, he gave them water. He even sprinkled their horses. This is the generosity of that compassionate heart. But look at this ruthless man standing in front of him. On the 9th of Muharram, Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam calls Umar ibn Sa'd for a face-to-face one-on-one meeting. Come here, I want to see you. Initially he was hesitant because he knew the Imam is going to put him on the spot. But he eventually agreed. Imam Husayn alayhi salam, along with 20 of his companions, including Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, Ali al-Akbar, they go. He also comes with 20 of his soldiers. Then the Imam alayhi salam tells his soldiers, leave. He tells his companions, leave, it's okay. Only Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas stay and Ali al-Akbar. So three on the Imam's side. Umar ibn Sa'd has his son stay and also one of his companions. He tells the others to leave. Now you have a meeting between six people. My dear brothers and sisters, this was the last chance to avoid this massacre. That decision was in the hands of this evil man, Umar ibn Sa'd. He could have called the war off. The Imam alayhi salam told him, do you know who I am? He said, yes, I know who you are. He told him, why don't you come and join me? Join me and we'll leave. We'll go. Let's avoid all this bloodshed. Let's save this day from this tragedy. Let's save these people from this tragedy. You know what he tells Imam Hussein alayhi salam? He tells him, but I'm afraid that they're going to demolish my house. Imam Hussein alayhi salam told him, I'll build a house for you. I'll take care of that. That's your concern. You're concerned about your house being demolished by Ibn Ziyad. I'll take care of that. He tells him, but I have a farmland. I have a nice village farmland. They're going to confiscate that from me. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, in Hijaz, I'll compensate you. I'll give you something better from my wealth in Hijaz. But he refused. Allahu Akbar. Look at this man. Look at his evilness. Then you know what he told Imam Hussein? He told him, but I'm concerned about my family. Maybe they'll go after my wife and kids to punish them because they'll consider me a traitor. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, I will guarantee their safety. And this is Sayyid Shababi Ahlul Jannah saying that, the truthful one. I'll guarantee their safety. But in the end, he said one word. He told him, Hussein, the mulk, the power, the kingdom of Urayy. That's something you cannot give me. Allahu Akbar, he does not know that the universe is at the fingertips of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And he is obsessed with the kingdom of Urayy. The Imam alayhi salam, when he sees his treachery, he tells him, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse you. You will never get that kingdom of Ray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have you slaughtered in your own bed. He left. They left. This man could have saved that battle. The Imam alayhi salam was telling him, come with me. I'll give you a house. I'll give you a farmland. Whatever you want. But look at the evilness of this man. And he, on the day of Ashura, was the first one to initiate the battle. He told his people, I want you to be witnesses. When you go and see the Amir, the governor, I want you to be the witnesses that I was the first to shoot an arrow and strike Hussein. I have that honor of starting the war. And he did start the battle. And he committed those atrocities, even though he knew. In lines of poetry, in Karbala, right before the battle ensued, he actually read lines of poetry. He says in Arabic, I am confused. I don't know what to do. On the one hand, killing Hussein is going to make me end up in hellfire. On the other hand, I can't sacrifice the kingdom of Ray. I don't know what to do. But then he says, you know what? They say there is heaven and hell. Who says there is heaven and hell? If there isn't, then I have achieved victory. I'll get the kingdom of this world. And if there is a hell, 2 years before I die, I'll repent and Allah will forgive me and I'll go to that paradise. Now maybe he does this in a very shameful, disgraceful way. But brothers and sisters, we've done that too. How many times have we told ourselves, it's okay. Inshallah, next year, 2 years from now, when I go to Hajj. How often do you hear that? Inshallah, when I go to Hajj, I'll get my act straight. Inshallah, then I'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I'll start praying. Then I'll put the hijab. Then I'll do this. Now yes, we don't do it at the scale as this man. But you see, all of us have that attachment to this world. And this is the struggle of this life. And this Umar ibn Sa'd is the one who, after the Imam alayhi salam was martyred, he ordered his army and the horsemen to trample the body of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And he's the one who ordered his soldiers to go and set the tents to fire. You see the viciousness of this man. Now do you think, what happened to him? What was his fate? You think he got Mulk al-Ray? He came back to Ibn Ziyad expecting that grand reward. Give me the document now, I'm going to Mulk al-Ray. Ibn Ziyad told him, sorry, I lost the document. I don't know where it is. He denied it. He outright denied it that he even made a promise like that. When he went back to Kufa, Umar ibn Sa'd after killing Imam Hussein, everyone disgraced him and shamed him. He did not have a single friend in Kufa. He would go out in the streets, people would spit in his face. You killed the grandson of the Prophet. And then he realized what he had done. He burned his hereafter, the Akhirah, and he burned his world as well. And he stayed in his house until 5 years later, the Mukhtar had him assassinated. And he never reached any of the wishes and the dreams that he had. This is a lesson for us, my dear brothers and sisters. When we hear about the story of Karbala, look at the other side. What happened to them? What motivated them to come and kill Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? This is a daily struggle that we have with our own self. In the end, we have to make that choice. Which camp are we going to join? This camp or that camp? It starts by purifying the heart from that enslavement of this world. That is why the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, state, رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. The key that unlocks all the evils in this world is what? The love of this world. Being infatuated, obsessed with this world. Now this doesn't mean that we cannot live in this world and have a good life, inshallah, and use the blessings of Allah. No. But this world, my dear brothers and sisters, is like you maneuvering the oceans in a ship. In order for the ship to move, you need water. Without water, the ship is not going to move. The more water, the better. If it's too shallow, it could get bumpy sometimes. This water carries the ship. The world carries us, absolutely. We're not supposed to go and isolate ourselves in some cave. We live in this world. We use the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him. But I ask you this question, the second, this same water which carries the ship, if this water enters inside the ship, what happens? SubhanAllah, the same water that carries the ship, that allows the ship to maneuver these vast oceans, the second this water goes inside the ship, it sinks. That's exactly the example of this world. The world carries you, but the minute you find the world playing with your heart, you find the love of this world capturing and captivating your heart, realize I might have a fate like that, like Umar ibn Sa'd. Because that's where he fell. That's where he failed his test miserably. Oftentimes when we think about these, you know, criminals, we think that only if I am a commander of an army, a king, a ruler, I can oppress. My dear brothers and sisters, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam teaches us that justice starts in my own house. In my own house, whose example do I follow? The example of Imam Hussein and his companions or the example of Umar ibn Sa'd? When I act arrogantly in my own house and I bully people in my own house, my spouse, my siblings, my relatives, my friends. Yes, there are bullies in many families. There's physical bullying, there's psychological bullying. Someone finds himself in that state, that's the path of Umar ibn Sa'd. Yes, to a smaller degree. Because what we learn from history is that if people fail their test inside their own house, if Allah gives you an empire to rule, you'll make the same mistake. You'll rule it exactly how you rule your house. On such a night, make a commitment with the Imam alayhi salam that I will start in my own house. I will rid myself of arrogance. The first sin that was committed in history was what? The first sin committed in history that the Quran talks about. What is it? Act of arrogance. Iblis. When he refused to prostrate to Adam along with the angels, what was his excuse? What was his justification? He says, I am better than him. Oh Allah. He recognizes there is Allah, by the way. He even talks to him. Can you imagine? He's not like an atheist who doesn't believe in God. No. He says, oh Allah, you created him from clay and you created me from fire. And indeed, fire is better than clay. You see that arrogance? Freeing the heart from arrogance. Freeing the heart from jealousy. We human beings, we like to be superior and have others be our inferiors. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam says, purify that heart. Purify that heart. Then you will be in my camp. You will be in my ship because he is the ship of salvation. Al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam teaches us what true freedom means. Freedom means that you break yourself free from everything in this world. You're not enslaved to anything, to money, to power, to having a position, to the materialistic life around you, to our gadgets, our cars, to brand name clothes. No, I'm not enslaved to them. I wear them fine, but I'm not enslaved to them. I don't need them. One young brother once, many years ago in another state, he came to me, he told me, say it, I'm struggling with something. I told him what? He's like, if I don't wear a brand name shirt, I don't feel good about myself. And he was being honest. I had respect for him for his honesty. A lot of people feel that way. I told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored and dignified and elevated the human being. You need a piece of shirt that was made in probably China or Indonesia that's not worth more than $5 to make yourself feel good about yourself. This is the status that Allah has given you. Allah says, I favored you over all my creations. I need a piece of cloth to feel good about myself. Or oftentimes, especially some of our youth, they struggle from this. I need that constant addiction to music to feel good about myself. Yes, some people openly say that. If I don't get my daily dose of music, I don't feel good. But this is what the shaitan does. That's how he fools us and he tricks us. And he gets us addicted, just like drugs. Those people who take drugs, when they're high, believe me, they're enjoying it. They're having the best time of their lives. They're flying over cloud nine. But then when that effect goes, and then you get that state of withdrawal, what happens? They fall crashing to the earth, crashing to the ground. And this is what the distractions and the temptations of this life does to us. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam teaches us, be strong, come on board my ship. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, they all stated, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنَ مِصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى وَسَفِينَةُ النَّجَاةِ. Husayn is the torch of guidance and the ship of salvation. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He says, on the night of the Mi'raj, when I ascended the seven heavens and I saw Allah revealed the greatness of His throne to me, I saw it was inscribed on the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنَ مُصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى وَسَفِينَةُ النَّجَاةِ. Know the value of Al-Imam Al-Husayn. We are all honored to speak His name, to participate in His gatherings, to learn from His values, my dear brothers and sisters. So the Imam alayhi salam teaches us, don't be enslaved to this world. Be strong, come on my ship, I'll show you the way. And always remember that this life, my dear brothers and sisters, does not last. It's not worth it, even if Umar ibn Sa'd would have been granted the kingdom of Ray. How much did he want to rule? 20 years? 30? And then what? Then where is he going? Allah says in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Qasas, the verse that I started with, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. That final abode, that final destination, that hereafter is exclusively reserved for who? نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. We have exclusively kept that akhirah for those who do not want glory and power in this world. And to spread corruption, those people know. The akhirah has no room for them. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The consequence will be given to the pious ones. They will go to paradise. It is achieved with piety. The Imam alayhi salam teaches us it's not worth it. Keep the akhirah in mind always. You know, it has been narrated in history that Alexander the Great, he had a lot of wisdom. As he was dying, he gathered those people around him, the officials, and he made three wills. He gathered them and he told them, I want to write my will now. What's your will, O Alexander? He said, my first will, I want only doctors to carry my janazah, my casket. No one else can participate. Number two, all the gold and silver that I have, open the treasures from my bed to my grave, create a pathway with the gold and silver. I want a direct line from my bed to my grave with all that gold and silver. Those coins, throw them on the ground. Make a line. Make a pathway. And number three, I want my hands to be extending out the kafan, the shroud, in my casket. They were shocked. Alexander, what kind of will is this? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? What are you trying to do? He explained to them. He said, I want the world to know that the doctors who are carrying my janazah, they could not protect me from death. With all their expertise and their medicine, in the end, they're carrying my body. They couldn't do anything for me. I want the world to know. Number two, I want the world to know all that gold and silver did not help me. I still ended up in my grave. And number three, I want the world to know, just as I came into this world empty-handed, I'm leaving empty-handed as well. That's the akhirah, my dear brothers and sisters. What are we going to take? Everything will be taken away from us. Even this body that we prize and we love so much and we spend so much on and we see ourselves in the mirror 30 times a day, even this body, days after we die, what happens to it? You know, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when Zulaykha tried to come up with that scheme to commit that act of immorality, Ibn Abbas narrates this. He says, Yusuf alayhi salam, that amazing, beautiful prophet of God, for 7 years he was in her palace when she bought him as a servant. Ibn Abbas says for 7 years he did not look at her in her face. He did not look at her in her eye. He would lower his head out of chastity and piety. After 7 years, she got frustrated. She told him, Yusuf, 7 years. 7 years you're in my palace. And you don't even allow me to see your eyes directly. Allow me to see your eyes. You have the most beautiful eyes in the world. And he did. You know what he responded to her? He told her, Zulaykha, if you were to see my eyes 3 days after they bury me, you would not see that. She tells him, Yusuf, but you smell so good. Look at this aroma around you. He tells her, oh Zulaykha, come 1 week after I die and smell my body. You'll be running away from me. That's the destiny. That's the destiny of every human being. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam teaches us, what are you going to take with you in this world? This is my message, my dear brothers and sisters, on the night of Ashura. Because this is a daily crisis that we experience. But we are blessed, my dear brothers and sisters. I know the journey is treacherous. Look at the Quran, look at the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt. It's not easy. Imam Ali alayhi salam would cry. He would cry every single night until he would fall unconscious. Ah and ah min qillat al-zad. He would actually moan from pain. How little provision I have with me. Wa bu'd al-safar wa wahshat al-tariq. How far is the journey of akhirah? How dangerous and treacherous it is. Amir al-Mu'mineen would cry every night. It is a dangerous journey, but my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the shining stars of Ahlul Bayt. This is why we have Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He is the ship of salvation. All you need to do is get on that ship. That's all you need to do. Get on the ship of al-Imam al-Husayn and carry the values of al-Imam al-Husayn. Allah will support you. The Imam alayhi salam will support you. We have the shining stars, these wonderful role models that Allah has blessed us with. They are the living, walking, talking Quran. You want to see the Quran in action? Look at the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Look at the life of al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We have infallible leaders. Infallible leaders. Is there an honor greater than that? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi in a hadith that all Muslims have documented, Sunni, Shia, all sects have documented. The Prophet in the Sahih, authentic hadith, he proves that the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, are infallible, error-free, and they have all the knowledge. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi states, I leave after me two heavy things. إني تاركٌ فيكم الثقلين. I'm leaving two weighty things. What are they? كتاب الله وعترتي أهل بيتي. And historians tell us this is how the Prophet equated, using his two index fingers, meaning they're exactly equal. They're the same. The book of Allah and my family. Here's the fundamental point in the hadith of the Prophet. He says, and they shall never separate until حَتَّى وَلَنْ يَفْتَرِقَ حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضُ. They shall never separate until they will meet me at the pool of Kawthar on the day of judgment. My dear brothers and sisters, let me ask you, is the Quran error-free or does it have mistakes? What's your belief? The Quran is infallible, error-free. If the Prophet says the Quran does not separate from the Ahlul Bayt, if the Ahlul Bayt make a mistake, have they parted from the Quran? Have they separated from it or not? Yes? If one of the members of Ahlul Bayt makes a mistake, in that mistake, he's separated from the Quran. But the Prophet says they shall never separate. Just as the Quran is infallible, the Ahlul Bayt are also infallible by the very hadith of the Prophet. The Quran has all the knowledge. فِيهِ تَبْيَانٌ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi states, if you want the knowledge of all of the world, of the entire history, read the Quran. And the Ahlul Bayt never separate from the Quran. They also carry that unlimited knowledge of the Quran. These are the gems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, my dear brothers and sisters. All we have to do is to ride the ship of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. He made that global call 14 centuries ago. Allah has given each and every one of us the opportunity to join Him, to serve His cause. Yes, the path is treacherous, but we have leaders like Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. We have amazing stars like Amir al-Mu'mineen. Let's know about the life of the Imam alayhi salam. The Imam every night in Masjid al-Kufa used to sit and cry for you and I, my dear brothers and sisters. Amir al-Mu'mineen has no sins. He's never committed a mistake. He's the greatest human being after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But every single night he would sit and cry for you and I. The Imam is reminding us, look, on that day there is no safety and security. Take it seriously. Be prepared from this life. You can make your akhirah safe and secure here from this world. Otherwise there, it will be difficult. And the Imam alayhi salam cries, I want to share with you some of his words in which every night in Masjid al-Kufa he used to say to Allah. He would say, Ilahi, inni Allahumma inni as'aluka al-aman. اللهم إني أسألك الأمان. Oh Allah, I ask you for safety. For which day? Why? اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون. On a day which no money, no wealth, no children can help you. In this world they can. Got a lot of children, big family, they'll have your back. You've got wealth, you've got power. The Imam says, on that day, I ask you, Allah, for safety, when nothing will help, no money, no children, except for what? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except if you go to Allah with a pure heart, with a sound heart. That's the only thing that will save you on the Day of Judgment. وَأَسْأَلُكَ الْأَمَانِ يَوْمَ يَعُضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Oh Allah, I asked you for safety and security on that day. When the oppressor will bite at his hands out of pain and regret, I wish I would have followed the right path. Now it's too late. I wish I would have taken the world more seriously. The Imam quotes a verse in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan. Why? What did he do wrong? يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا.
يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا.
You know what he will say? I wish I would not have befriended so and so. I was walking the right path, and then my friends, they misguided me. Their peer pressure, their negativity. My dear youth, on this night, inspect who are your friends. Do you have friends who bring you closer to Allah after getting up with your gatherings with your friends from your gatherings? Do you feel closer to your parents? Do you love your parents more? Or as I've seen, some youth, when they get together as friends, they leave that session hating their parents more. Stay away from such friends, my dear brothers and sisters. On that day, we'll bite at our hands. Then he continues to say, وَأَسْأَلُكَ الْأَمَانِ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغني. Oh Allah, I ask you for safety on that day when my brother will run away from me, my parents will run away from me, my wife will run away from me. No one can help because they're all busy. They can't help me. They need someone to help them. Oh Allah, grant me safety and security on that day. Then you see the Imam humbling himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those beautiful words, my dear brothers and sisters, let's recite these often. This changes the heart. This changes the human being. مولاي يا مولاي أنت المولى وأنا العبد وهل يرحم العبد إلا المولى. Oh my master, you're the master and I'm the slave. Who can have mercy on the slave other than the master? Oh Allah, have mercy on us on such a night. Oh Allah, allow us to embark the ship of Al-Imam Al-Hussein. Imam Al-Hussein, 14 centuries ago, he made that universal call. Ala hal min nasirin yansuruni. Ala hal min mu'inin yu'inuni. We tell you Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura. People betrayed you, O Abu Abdullah. Today we stand with you, O Abu Abdullah. We will not abandon your message. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in the ziyarah, he tells him, Labbayka da'i Allah. I heed your call, O Abu Abdullah. In kana lam yujibka badani inda istighathatik. ولساني عند استنصارك. Oh Abu Abdullah, my grandfather, if I wasn't physically present in Karbala with my body to support you, with my tongue to support you, فقد أجابك قلبي وسمعي وبصري. But my heart races to you, Abu Abdullah, and it comes to your support. My eyes come to your support. My ears come to your support, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's take this lesson from the land of Karbala. This is Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. If you hold on to him, Allah will bless you in this life and in the hereafter. Let's illuminate our homes with the blessings of Abi Abdullah. One dream that I have for all of our communities, hold regular majalis and gatherings in your homes. They bring the barakah to your house. Allah will increase your sustenance. Allah will protect you from danger. Live with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. At the moment of death, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam will come to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that eternal blessing. The beautiful hadith says on the day of judgment, this is in Kamil al-Ziyarat, which is an authentic hadith according to our maraji'. On the day of judgment, the believers, those who died on the path of Hussein, they shall be under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, receiving the blessings of Allah. Then Al-Imam Al-Hussein will appear in their presence. A pulpit will be erected to Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, and he will speak to his followers. Just imagine that scene. Gathered around Abi Abdullah, looking at the luminous face of the Imam alayhi salam on the day of judgment. The Imam is talking to his people, to his followers on the day of judgment, everyone who died on his path. The angels call to us. They tell us, come, paradise is waiting for you. the mu'mineen, the believers, will tell the angels, we are busy with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Don't distract us from the face of Aba Abdullah. Allahu Akbar, what happened in Karbala? That's why when the Imam in those final moments was on the ground, many came to kill him, but they retreated. They were asked, why don't you go and kill him? They say, the light of his face distracted us. We can't. Allahu Akbar, how ruthless must a person be like Shimr to do a grave crime like that? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us fixed in the ship of Imam al-Husayn. This is the night of Ashura, my dear brothers and sisters. A number of incidents happened in the land of Karbala. I want to take your hearts. This is the final night. This is the night of the farewell. Tonight, Zainab is protected by the greatest brothers in history. Sukaina has the most amazing father on such a night to comfort her. On such a night, Nafi' ibn Hilal, one of the companions of Imam Hussein, he said, in the midst of the night, I realized Hussein had gone missing. He wasn't there in the tent. I became concerned. Where is my master Hussein? Did something happen to him? Maybe the enemies did something to him. He says, in the darkness of the night, I went searching for Hussein until finally I found him on the ground picking something from the ground. I told him, Aba Abdullah, what are you doing on such a dangerous night? Any minute they could attack us. What are you doing? According to one report, the Imam alayhi salam told him, oh Nafi', these thorns on the ground, I am removing them. Why Hussein? Why would you do that? On this night, you're farewelling your family. These are precious moments. Why would you waste time removing thorns? He tells him, Nafi', tomorrow when they burn the tent, those children barefoot, they will be running around in this area. And these thorns will enter their feet. I want to remove them so I reduce from their pain. Allahu Akbar. This is Imam Hussein. This is his compassionate heart. How can you kill a human being like that? On the night of Ashura, Lady Zainab was close to the Imam. When she heard him read lines of poetry which indicated that the Imam is going to be martyred. Lady Zainab now had certainty. Tomorrow I'm going to lose my Hussein. She breaks into tears. She runs out of patience. She approaches Imam Hussein and she says, Al-yawm ma tajaddi. Al-yawm mata abi, al-yawm mata ummi. Oh Hussein, you're telling me you're leaving? Today I can feel my grandfather dying. Today my father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, says it's as if I'm losing him. Because Hussein, you are the culmination of all of them. You are the fifth of Ashab al-Kisa. If I lose you, I lose the Prophet. I lose Amir al-Mu'mineen. I lose Fatima. I lose my brother Hassan. She was about to die. She literally was about to die. Imam al-Hussein walked up to her and he told her, Zainab, come. I ask Allah to give you patience. He places his hand on her heart. He says, oh Allah, give Zainab patience. It was this dua that kept Zainab strong. Then the Imam made a request from her. Imagine, he could have made so many requests. Oh Zainab, what should you do other than, of course, taking care of the woman and the children? Zainab, after I am martyred, at night when you pray Salat al-Layl, remember me. Allahu Akbar. Hussein asked his sister Zainab to remember him in Salat al-Layl, in the midnight prayer. Know the value of the midnight prayer, my dear brothers and sisters. That was the Imam's request. And she did pray Salat al-Layl on the 10th of Muharram at night. But she had to pray it while sitting. She had no energy to stand up, Lady Zainab alayhi salam. Many things happened on the night of Ashura. One final thing that I share with you that happened on such a night Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam gathered all the women and the children in the tent of al-Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam. He called them one by one by their name. Ya Zaynab wa ya Umm Kulthum wa ya Sukayna wa ya Rabab. Come, come, come here. I want to leave my will here in this tent. They all gather. Imam Zayn al-Abidin is extremely ill. He's lying down. The Imam alayhi salam, he gathers the woman and the children and he tells them, be the witness that after me, my son Ali Zayn al-Abidin is your Imam. You shall take his commands and obey him. He is the Imam appointed by Allah. Then the Imam alayhi salam has an emotional conversation with al-Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam. He tells him, my dear son, tomorrow you see these children, they will lose their protectors and guardians. They will lose all the men. So you, Ali ibn al-Husayn, my dear son, I want you to comfort them when they cry. Because they have no supporter left. You be their fatherly figure. You give them that source of compassion. Imam Zayn al-Abidin begins to cry. Then the Imam alayhi salam, he tells him, my son, I have a message to my Shia. I convey them this message. Bunayya Ali, qul li shi'ati ma in sharibtum adhba ma in fadhkuruni. Whenever you drink a cup of water, remember me. Tell my followers, my father, he died thirsty. Oh, Abu Abdullah, we will honor this request. Whenever you see an oppressed one, remember me. Whenever you see a lonely one, abandoned, remember me. Oh, Abu Abdullah, what kind of tragedies befell your family? And speaking of thirst, on the day of Ashura, everyone was massacred. There was no water in their camp, in their tents for 3 days. Lady Zainab alayhi salam, she comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and she tells him, oh Aba Abdullah, your 6-month-old baby is withering. He can no longer withstand the thirst. His mother is no longer able to nurse him. Aba Abdullah, just do something. Do something. Sukayna comes carrying the baby. Father, go to them. Maybe they'll have mercy on this child. Go and ask them to give him only water. None of us, they don't want to give us, fine. Maybe they'll give him. The Imam alayhi salam carries his son, his infant in his arms. He goes out to the battlefield. He calls on them. He tells them, oh people, you have killed my brothers. You have killed my son. And there is no man other than me who is now alive. If you think I have committed a sin, then what is the sin of this 6-month-old infant? إن لم ترحموني فرحموا هذا الطفل الرضيع. If you have no mercy on me, then have mercy on my six-month-old baby. And if you don't trust me, here, I'll give you the baby, you feed him the water, and I'll take him back. The Imam was carrying the baby in front of them. Some of them started to cry, very emotional scene. There was a dispute in the army of Ibn Ziyad. When Umar ibn Sa'ad realized that maybe some of his army is weakened by the stance, maybe they feel bad for Imam Hussein, he looks at Harmala. Oh believers, here comes the tragedy. He tells him, Harmala, what are you waiting for? End the dispute. He tells him, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? He tells him, Ama tara bayad raqabat. He tells him, do you not see the whiteness of the neck of the baby? He gets the message. He takes out a 3-headed spear and then he aims at the neck of that 6-month-old baby. Oh believers, he shoots the arrow. The poisonous arrow lands on the neck of Ali Asghar. And he murders him from vein to vein. Historical reports say Ali Asghar takes out his hands from the swaddle and
And he is about to hug his father. It's as if he's telling them, Father, that's how they quenched my thirst by this poisonous arrow. The Imam alayhi salam, he collects the blood in his hand and he throws it in the sky. He throws it in the air. He says, "Hawana ma nazala bi annahu bi'ayn Allah." What makes this easy on me is that Allah, you're watching. Oh Allah, you're the witness. You're watching. You see what's happening. Oh Allah, you give me the patience. Not a drop of blood came back on the earth. But then, oh believers, this is the heartbreaking moment. The Imam alayhi salam, how is he going to go back to the tents? How is he going to meet Zainab? How is he going to meet his mother Rabab? What is he going to show them? A slaughtered baby? They cannot handle that. Some historical accounts say the Imam, as he was going back to the tent, the tragedy of At-Tifl al-Radi', the baby being slaughtered, was so heavy, the Imam's back became bent and his face was not recognizable anymore. That's the severity of the tragedy on the heart of the Imam. The women and the children, they saw the Imam coming. Some of them were happy. Yes, maybe he got some water for the baby. But then they realized Imam al-Hussein was hiding something under his cloak. Father, what are you possibly carrying? What are you hiding under the cloak? The Imam comes to the tents, but then he takes a few steps back. 7 times he goes back and forth. How is he going to meet those women? Finally, they come to him. Oh, Abba Abdullah, what are you carrying? What happened? The Imam removes the cloak. He takes out the slaughtered infant and he gives it to them. See, this is what they did. Rabab, later on, she goes to her infant. She carries the infant close to her chest. Yabni, yabni, ya Abdullah, ya Ghali. Ya Habiti wa Izzi wa Dalali. أنا برباك سهرت الليالي. My beloved son, my Ali Asghar, so many sleepless nights I had with you. You're my source of pride, you're my joy. يا هبتي وعزي ودلالي أنا برباك سهرت الليالي. يا ابني أهز مهدك والمهايات خالي إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Everyone with a heartbroken, with a broken heart, with a heartbroken voice, let's say our salam to Imam al-Hussein. As-salamu ala al-Hussein wa ala Ali ibn al-Hussein. وعلى أخيه أبي الفضل العباس وأختي الحوراء زينب ورحمة الله وبركاته.